Amen. Amen. Brother Bellison gave his testimony in teen class this morning, and it just definitely made me thankful to be able to grow up in a Christian home. I had good parents that took me to church and taught me the Bible, and there's a lot of things I didn't have to experience because of the good upbringing I had and some of the stuff he just talked about. So praise the Lord for his blessings. Amen. All right, well, Titus chapter 2, thank you for those things. I think it's good sometimes just to praise the Lord a little bit and thank God for some things. But Titus chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse number 11. The Bible says this, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this night, Lord. I want to thank you, God, for this opportunity to be in church. God, and to have a place, Father, that we can gather together and we can hear from your word and we can just, God, hear from you. Lord, I thank you that tonight is not just some religious duty that we have to do or some ritual that we have to do just to be here to be here. But God, I believe that you want to speak to hearts tonight. And God, I believe you want to work in hearts tonight. And God, I believe you can make a change in hearts tonight. And I thank you so much for that, God, that you're real, that you're living. God, that you care enough about us just insignificant specks of dirt gathered at Faith Baptist Church on a Sunday night, Lord, to speak to us through your word. And God, that's what we're here for tonight. And so, Father, as I stand behind this pulpit, Lord, I plead your power. And God, I ask that you would use me beyond myself. I plead the blood of Christ and ask that you'd empty me of myself and fill me with what I need to preach your word, God. Your power, your strength, your wisdom, your discernment, your love, your authority, Lord. And God, I just need you tonight. And Lord, as Paul prayed, God, I pray that my preaching would not be with man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Because God, if any change is going to happen tonight, it's going to come from you. So Lord, right now, I pray that you calm my mind and just, Lord, help me to lock in and focus in, God, on what you have given me for these people. But Lord, that you would be the one to speak to their hearts. And God, that you'd help them to be prepared for what you have for them. And so God, please help us right now. We need you so very much. And Lord, I'm not ashamed to admit that, God, that I desperately need you. So Father, help me preach as a dying man to dying men. And I'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor because you're the only one that deserves it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And as I start off the message this evening, I'd just like to start off by saying, praise the Lord for salvation and that Jesus Christ gave himself for us. I think it's a good way to start off a message, amen, talking about salvation and what Christ has done for us. Here in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And praise the Lord for that. That God gave us grace, that God gave himself so that we could be redeemed, so that we could have eternal life. I also like how this verse kind of messes up the whole Calvinist theory because it says it's appeared to all men. And you can look over in 1 Timothy 2:4 that talks about that as well, of God's salvation being for all men. But praise the Lord for that tonight, that he gave us his grace. In verse number 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us." And praise the Lord for a Savior that was willing to buy us and purchase us with his precious blood. And don't ever take that for granted, Christian. Don't ever take that for granted that God loved you enough to die for you so you could be saved, so you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. That's a great thing this evening, that we have salvation and Christ gave himself for us. And so praise the Lord for that, but I'd like to say, and I kind of mentioned this, I think, the other Sunday when I was preaching, it's important to realize that God saved you for more than just so you wouldn't go to hell. Right? God saved you for more than just so you wouldn't go to hell. Now, praise the Lord, I'm not going to hell, amen? I mean, that's a pretty good deal to get saved, and that's a pretty good part of salvation that I don't have to die and go to hell, but I can spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. But guess what? That's not the only reason Jesus saved you today. Right? In verse number 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." God saved you so you could be his child and part of his peculiar people. Right? A people that are set apart, a people that are given to serve him and live for him and do what he wants them to do. That's part of the reason God saved you, Christian. And many times we feel like all salvation is just some get out of hell free card. And once again, praise the Lord, that's part of it. But God saved you so you would live for him. God saved you so you would belong to him and be a peculiar people, a different people, a set apart people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we see here that one reason God saved you is so you would be zealous of good works. Once again, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know why God gave himself for you? So you would be zealous of good works. That's what he wants from you as a Christian, as his child, as his son, as his daughter, to be zealous of good works. And kind of a definition for zeal is to have a passion or eagerness about something. And you know why God saved you? So you would have a passion and you would have a zeal and you would have an excitement about doing something for God, amen, about doing good works. That's one of the reasons he saved you. That's what I want to preach on tonight, about being zealous of good works. And I'll just kind of add this before we kind of jump into it. I think it's just a cool thing to point out that we serve a God who can be zealous, amen. Right, God can be zealous. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 59. And there's several different verses that talk about God being zealous, but I came across this one and I thought it was just a cool verse, so I figured I'd share it with you. But Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 16 and 17, the Bible says this. Talking of the Lord, it says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. And I just like the way the Bible phrases things. Amen. That's a cool way to phrase it, that he was clad with zeal as with a cloak. Why? To save his people, to punish them. We serve a God who is a zealous God, and you can find that also in Isaiah 9:7 and Isaiah 37:32 and Ezekiel 5:13, talking about the zealousness of the Lord. And over in John 2:17, speaking of Christ, it says, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Amen. So I'm just trying to say, hey, God wants us to be zealous, but he's zealous as well. And I think it's a good thing to keep in mind. But going back to talking about being zealous of good works, there's a couple things I want to kind of point out and think about as we talk about being zealous of good works. Number one, I'd like to say that God wants you to be zealous of good works. Right? That's just what I said. But God wants you to be zealous of good works. You know, there's many things in this life that we get zealous of. Right? There's a lot of different things. I'm not saying they're bad things, but you know what? We can get zealous or excited or passionate about different things. I was talking to a youth pastor, one of the ones who's coming to the retreat, and he's a Texas Longhorns fan, and they're having March Madness down in Portland, and so he got to go watch the Texas Longhorns play, and they beat Gonzaga. So I'm sorry, Brother Daly, have to bring that up. But he sent me a video of the end of the game. He said it was a close game, and they won, and you know what was happening at the end of the game? He was screaming, and he was shouting, and he was excited. Why? Because his team won, and he was passionate about his team. Right? I can appreciate that, amen, because I like sports, right? I can get passionate about sports. That's something we can get zealous of. Some people, man, get zealous about making money, right? And I like money just like you like money, so I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but man, we get excited about making money. We get excited about finding jobs or finding works, or hey, if you went out in the parking lot and found a $100 bill, you'd probably be pretty excited about it, amen. I was talking with some guys today about, you know what, going to the gym and working out. That's something we can be zealous of. Right? That doesn't mean that's why I wake up in the morning, I'm like, woo, I get to go bench press today or squat. But man, it's something I put passion into. It's something I get myself to wake up early in the morning, or I push myself or go out of the way to do. Right? And there's many things, whether it's hobbies, whether it's things we enjoy, whether it's being popular or popular on social media or what. There are things that we get zealous of in this life, right? Things that drive us, things that we get passionate about. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But can I ask you, on the list of things in your life that you are zealous of, are good works one of them? Right? Because the Bible says we should be zealous of good works. God wants you to be zealous of good works. In Colossians 3, let's go over to Colossians 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3, and verses 1 and 2, pretty familiar verses, but Colossians 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." You know what happens a lot of times? We set our affection, we set our zeal, we set our heart on things of this earth that really don't mean a lot for eternity's sake. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with being excited about sports or excited about making money or excited about working out or excited about whatever your thing is. But I'm saying God wants you to be zealous of good works. He wants you to set your affection on things above. Things that have eternal value. Things that, hey, you know what? If I do this, God's going to be pleased with it. It's going to bring Him glory and honor and make a difference for the cause of Christ. Are we zealous of those things today, Christian? Do those things excite us and get us passionate and get us just something that drives us to do something for God? Can I ask you, Christian, are you as passionate about doing things for God as you are about worldly things? Right? Because I've been guilty of it, and I've seen a lot of Christians that, man, we'll get excited about all these worldly things, and then it comes to something for God, and we act like it's a drag, and we act like it's a bother, and we act like it's, man, so tough that I have to live for God, and it's so tough that I have to do this for the Lord, and there's no passion. There's no excitement. There's no energy. There's no, man, I get to do this for the Lord. It's like, oh, I got to go to church today. I got to, you know, preach Sunday night. I got to teach this class. I got to go street preach. Right? Where is the passion? Where is the zeal? Where is the excitement about getting to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ? And once again, not everyone is me. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Right? Not everyone's as loud and boisterous as I. Right? And so I'm not saying that that means be having zeal means we're just like hooping and hollering and running the out. But you put some effort and work into whatever the Lord has you to do. Is there something that drives you? Is there something inside of that, man, I want to do something for God in however way that looks? Because guess what? Something excites you. I don't care if you're as loud as I am or not. Something gets you going, amen. And guess what? Things of God should be one of those things. And can I say, God wants you to care about doing something for Him. God wants it to mean something to you to do good works, amen. That it's not just, well, if it happened. No, like, it's a driving force in your life of, I want to do something for God. I want to do some good works. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 10, Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says this. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know why God created you? For good works. You know what that means? Good works should be important to us. That if God created us for the purpose of doing good works for Him, that's something that we should have a passion about because our God is passionate about that. Right? Good works. Go over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. Titus 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Hey, here are you and I, those that have believed, amen. And what did Paul say? Be careful to maintain good works. Be careful that those things are important and stay important to you in your life, because you know what happens in this world? We can get caught up in all these other things and all of a sudden these good works and doing something for God and the things that please aren't as important to us. That happens to all of us, right? And so I'm just trying to say, you know what, when we're thinking about good works tonight, God wants you to be zealous of good works. God wants you to have a passion for good works and an excitement about doing something for Him, amen. I think it's something we're missing today, is that excitement of good works. And so being zealous of good works, number one, God wants you to be zealous of good works. But I believe, secondly, God wants you to be zealous about finding good works to do. God wants you looking for a way to serve Him and looking for a way that you can perform good works for Him. Go to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. See your story about a man who was zealous for God. Numbers chapter 25 and verse number 1. It's a little bit of a reading here, so try to wait till most of y'all get there. Numbers 25 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel." And so we see here this story where Moab joins up with the Israelites and the Moabites are getting Israel to sin and go after Baal, and God's plaguing the Israelites. God's killing the Israelites and punishing the Israelites for their sin. And to the point where Moses says, hey man, we got to kill these Moabites. We got to get rid of these Moabites to the judges and stuff like that. And while they're at the tabernacle kind of mourning and weeping over what's happening, all of a sudden this Israelite man brings this Moabitish woman just basically in the sight of everyone and sins with her and kind of just like, I'm doing what I want. I don't care what God has to say. We find in the midst of this sin that this man's doing, all of a sudden Phinehas says, you know what, I'm going to put a stop to this. And he goes and grabs a javelin and he kills the man and the Moabitish woman. He stabs them through. And what do we find here? Right? Phinehas, in a sense, performed a good work. Right? Now, that's kind of a gory, like, kind of a weird story. But what was he doing? Man, there was sin going on. There was something that needed to happen. And Phinehas was the one to stand up and say, hey, this ought not to be happening. I'm going to put an end to this. I'm going to stop this sin. Amen. And you know what I find here? That no one told Phinehas he had to do that. You don't see any place where Moses came up to Phinehas and said, hey, Phinehas, can you go kill this Moabitish woman and this man because they're sinning and doing wrong? No, he took it upon himself. In fact, even you find here that Moses tells the judges that to kill everyone, his man, right? Because Moses had set up these judges and put them over different groups of men. He tells them, hey, kill the ones that are doing wrong. And Phinehas could have very easily said, well, I'm a priest, right? It's not my job to have to kill this person. I wasn't told to do that. God hasn't laid it on my heart to do this ministry. You don't see him sitting there saying, well, you know what? Let me pray about it before I go do this to make sure this is what God wants. And I'm not bashing praying about things, you know what I'm saying. But you know what I see here? That he had a zealousness for the Lord and saw something needed to be done for God, and he took it upon himself to say, hey, I'm going to do something for God because it needs to be done. And I'm afraid too many times in Christianity, we have Christians that just want to kind of sit around on the sidelines until the pastor or someone else has to kind of drag them off it to do something for God, amen? You know, we as Christians, I'm not getting on the ground like I did the other day, but you just kind of just want to loaf around and it's like, oh, there's street preaching next Sunday, I guess because it was announced, I got to get up and do it. Oh, there's a work day, I guess. Oh, there's this ministry that needs done and pastor's hounding me about it. There's no zeal. There's no Christians looking around saying, hey, something needs to be done for God, and if I can do it, guess what? I'm going to do it for him. Man, I appreciate it, and I'm not trying to talk them up or anything like that, and I'm sure they probably wouldn't want me to mention anything. But today, Brother Daniel texted me and asked me to print out some of the flyers for the packets that we hand out. You know what him and Miss Victoria do? They go around and pass out invites for our church and the community. And as far as I know, Pastor Sherry didn't go to Daniel and say, hey, Daniel, can you go do this? No, it was something that needed to be done. So they said, hey, let's do something for God. And look, sometimes God can use leadership. I'm not saying you got to get past leadership or not care. But what I'm trying to say is there needs to be a zeal to do something for the Lord. There needs to be some driving force in us of instead of just sitting on our fat hind ends all the time of until I'm gilded or drug or whatever, until it's falling apart. So how about I look for something to do for God? And look, not everyone can do the same thing, and that's fine. But you can do something for God if you just look, amen. And we need some Phineases to say, hey, I've got some abilities and I've got some talents and hey, here's a need or there's a need or what. Hey, I can do this. Man, a zeal, an excitement. And you know what? The Lord blessed Phineas for a zeal. The Lord blessed him because he said something needs done for God and I'm going to do something about it if I can. In verse number 12, it says, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. And he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Hey, I think God likes it when his people have a zeal for him, amen. And once again, I'm not trying to say about getting ahead of God or not praying about things or not being wise about things. But man, I think we've gotten to the opposite extreme where we just want to focus on ourselves and care about ourselves and not really worry much about the work of God. That needs done. Can I say that God needs some Christians who are looking for ways to serve him? And once again, I'm not saying putting the weight of the entire church or the entire world on your shoulders like you have to do everything. But you can do something for God, amen. You can find a way to serve him. But we need that zeal. Go over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. The Bible says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what Jesus was saying? There's no lack of work to be done. Right? It's not like we have loads and loads and loads of people just ready to do something. There's just nothing to do. No, he said, open your eyes into the fields because they're white unto harvest. There's a work to be done, but guess what? The laborers are few. The people that are actually looking out in the harvest and looking for a way to serve and have a zeal about doing some good works to God, where are they to be found? Well, man, maybe they're too caught up in the zealousness of their own life and the things they want to do and the things they want to care about and what's important to them. You go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And verse number 34, kind of along the same lines, it says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Can I encourage you, Faith Baptist Church, tonight, look unto the fields, because they're white and ready to be harvested. There are people out there that need the gospel.
There are people out there that need street preached to. And yeah, we have a 3:30 thing next week. But guess what? You don't just have to street preach at 3:30 next Sunday. I appreciate, once again, I'm not trying, but I appreciate Brother Stan goes and sometimes and stands over by Safeway by himself with a sign and tries to give out some tracts. You know, there's many of you that go to the store. And there are people that need the gospel. Your friends, your family members, your schoolmates, your workmates. Man, there are doors that need to be knocked on or hangers hung on them. There's people that need tracts. There's stuff that can be done. Man, maybe there's some folks out there, there's some kids that, man, if someone would come along and pick them up, would come to church, to Sunday school or Thursday night patch club, and maybe could hear the gospel and get saved. Maybe not for salvation, and, you know, praise the Lord, it's getting lighter. But you know what? I know during the winter months, there's some elderly folks that, you know what, would love to come to church if someone would pick them up and bring them, but because it's dark, they don't feel safe driving. There's something that can be done for God. Hey, there's specials that can be sung that anybody can get up and sing. There's messages at times that, hey, someone needs to preach. There's Sunday school classes and Thursday night classes and events and things. There's a fair in August that we do. I'm just trying to say there is stuff that can be done for God if someone would just look for it. And I've been in church for a long time. And I praise the Lord for our church and the good heart of our people. But you know what I've seen a lot? I'm not talking about it. I just, in church in general, that, man, sometimes it's almost like having to pull teeth to get someone to do something for God. And there's all this stuff that needs done and all this stuff that, man, if we had someone that could just step up, but guess what? No one seems to care or no one seems to want to put themselves out for it. And then as the pastor, you feel guilty or like, oh, man, I got to try to get someone to do it. And then you feel like a bat or whatever the case may be. And man, can I say even too, and I want to be careful because I don't think the Lord's in the business of running us under the ground. It's not like we have to feel like, man, we got to do everything ourselves. But man, sometimes some of us that do a lot, we can get in this mode of, well, I'm doing enough for God, and I don't need to do anymore. And look, I want to be very clear. God should be the one to put things on your heart to do for him, right? Because God knows how much you can handle and what you should be doing or not doing. Now, yeah, should you listen if Pastor Sherry comes up and says, hey, I've been praying about this, and the Lord, yeah, because he's the pastor and God. But I'm not talking about me looking at you and saying, oh, they should be doing this or they should be doing that, or Pastor Sherry. I'm talking about God showing you things. But you know what can happen a lot of times? We lose our zeal about finding things to do for God. And we get so content, well, because I'm the associate pastor of Faith Baptist Church, and I've got all this outside work to do, and I've got the youth group, and I've got this thing going on. I don't need to care about finding any other good works to do. But that's what it becomes. Because then something else does come up, and it's like, oh, I got to do this now. And oh, I guess I should do this because I've been guilted so much, or because Pastor Sherry thinks I should do it, or because... What about having a zealousness for it? I mean, I get to do something for God, and yeah, maybe I'm busy, and maybe I have things going on, but guess what? I serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I get to have something to do for him. I'm just talking tonight about having a zealousness to look for something to do for God. And maybe you're here tonight and you're doing everything God wants you to do, and praise the Lord. But you can still have a zeal. You can still be open to what God has for you to do. You know, if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58, familiar verses. I believe this is actually Pastor Sherry's life verse, but 1 Corinthians 15, 58, the Bible says this. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Abounding. Plenteousness. You know what that means? It means we're not just doing as little as we can to get by to make sure we're pleasing God. We're doing as much as we can do. Christian, we should be doing our best to find as much as we can do for God. And that's all God asks from you tonight. In a sense, that's what I'm asking. Do your best. Because God knows what you can do or can't do. And God's not expecting you tonight to be zealous about doing things that you don't have the ability to do. right? You know, Mrs. Lors, you know, she goes around her wheelchair thing. God doesn't expect Mrs. Lors to get up on the roof and fix a leak in the roof because it needs done sometime, right? And there are things God knows you can't do, so God's not going to put that on you. God's not going to drive you around because you... But there's something you can do. And all my question tonight is, are you doing your best in finding things to do for God? Because if you do your best, then okay. And once again, that doesn't matter what I think or someone else thinks. If you're doing your best, you know and God knows. But that's where I think we struggle with sometimes, is we're not giving our best. But it's because we're just not doing anything and we don't care, or because, well, we have this other stuff we're doing, and so that means I'm doing enough. But is it your best? God wants your best, abounding into every good work. So being zealous of good works, number one, God wants you to be zealous of good works. Number two, God wants you to be zealous about finding good works to do. But then lastly tonight, God wants you to be zealous in performing your good works. In performing your good works. Can I say tonight that the Lord wants you to have some passion and care in what you're doing for Him? Right? Not just having a passion and like, okay, I need to find something to do for God and looking for, but in the things God has given you to do. Because you know what I can say? Praise the Lord tonight. I'm looking out at a bunch of people at Faith Baptist Church that are doing something for God. Amen. We have our different roles and our different ministries and our different things, physical, spiritual, outreach, classes here, doing things for God. But can I say tonight, the Lord wants you to have some passion and care in what you're doing for Him. Some zeal, some excitement, something that drives you to do the best in what you're doing for Him. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Very familiar verse, but Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23, the Bible says this, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." Do it heartily. Hey, as someone who's grown up in church, been in the ministry for 11 years, can I say from personal experience, far too often we lose our heart and zeal in what we're doing for God. And I understand that. And look, sometimes in life, we do just have to put our head to the ground and keep plowing. Right? It's not, you ain't been in the ministry very long if you think the ministry is all the time just, woo, just as... guns blazing, right? Sometimes it's like, man, I just got to inch by inch by inch because the plowing's hard. But you know what I've seen far too much in my life, in the lives of Christians, and can I say, dare I say, sometimes in the life of Faith Baptist Church, that becomes the normal. Where it's all the time, oh man, this is just, you know, just pushing ahead and just trudging ahead and just doing the little bit. Sometimes there's a place for that. But you know what? There should be sometimes a zeal, an excitement in what you're doing for God, in what you get to do for God, that, hey, guess what? Maybe it's not as good as so-and-so could be, and maybe it's not what's... But I am doing my best, and I'm putting some fire and some passion and some excitement and the best I can do in what God has given me to do. Whether that's preaching a message, whether that's singing a special, whether that's being in choir, whether that's teaching a Sunday school class or patch club, whether that's going out and street preaching, whether that's putting door hangers in out, whether that's giving a tract to someone at the store, whether that's witnessing to your friend or coworker. Hey, sometimes there should be an excitement and a zeal in what you're doing. Sometimes people should see some heart in what you're doing. And yeah, guess what? Sometimes people are going to see, you know what? They're plugging away because they're going through it. It's a little bit difficult, and that's okay. Because it's not always way up here. Sometimes it's down here. And sometimes it is just doing the... But man, we're missing our zeal in Christianity today. We're missing our fire. We're missing our excitement. And other people notice that. You know, I heard a phrase or a saying a preacher said one time, that if there's no fire in the pulpit, don't expect a fire in the pews. And that's true. Right? And it's not just in preaching. It's in your class. It's in your witness. It's in whatever God's called you to do. And look, once again, yeah, I think there should be some excitement, amen. But not everyone's, again, not everyone's me. Not everyone's Pastor Shirt. You have your personality, how God made you. And some people are loud and boisterous, and some people are melodramatic. And that's fine. God's not expecting you to be something you're not. But passion isn't just in how loud you are or how animated you are. Zeal can be in your preparation. You know, we need some people who have some zeal, who care more about the ministry God's given them than just, well, hey, 5 seconds before I got to do it, let me put something together. No, I'm going to do some planning and some care and some thought. Maybe it's in just while you're doing it. However it is, God wants zeal. And whatever God has given you to do, do it heartily. If it's the sound booth, if it's mowing the grass, if it's whatever, do it with some heart. Do it with some care. Do it the best that you can do. Over in Ecclesiastes 9:10, the Bible says, "And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Can I ask you tonight, Christian, the ministries God has given for you to do, can you say you're doing it with your might? Can you say the best of your ability you're doing? Once again, I'm not saying are you doing it as well as so-and-so could do it. Are you doing it? Are you doing your best and with your might? Because can I be honest tonight? I think God's a little tired of the half-rendedness of some Christians in the ministry God's given them to do. Of no care, of no effort, of no fire, of no passion, of no, it's just, well, here's what I'm doing, so let me just whatever and move on to the next thing because I don't really care about it. Or I'm too busy with other things that I care more about that I don't give God enough time to put into what God's given me to do. I'm just saying we need some zeal. I need some zeal. The reason I'm preaching this is because something God's been working on my heart about it. Hey, in your ministries, Pastor Aaron, how much zeal have you had? How much has it meant to you? We're here in Colossians chapter 3. Look in verse number 17. The Bible says this. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And can I ask you, is the effort you're giving worthy of the name of your Lord and Savior? Do you ever think of that? Because you're supposed to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God looked at your effort, and hey, in a sense, you're attaching your effort to the name of your Lord and Savior that bled for you, that gave himself for you, that died for you, would God look at your effort and say, you know what, they're doing their best, and that pleases me and brings glory and honor to me because, hey, they're trying their best? Or would he look at it and say, that's a bunch of pathetic nothingness, and that brings me shame because they're not doing as good as they should be for me? Because guess what, Christian? God should be getting our best. God deserves our best. His name deserves our best. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." As I said, from preaching a message, to singing in the choir, to running the sound booth, to teaching a class, to strip, are you giving your best? Do you have any zeal tonight, Christian? Because God wants you to be zealous in performing your good works. And I understand life is hard. And once again, I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I'm not trying to just beat. I'm saying this for myself. Because I get life's busy and life has things going on. And sometimes it is a fight. And sometimes we come to church and it's like, okay, I made it through the week. And God understands. But that's not an excuse tonight for you and I to not be zealous of good works. That's not an excuse for us to just go through this life putting no effort or not as much effort as we should into serving God or looking for ways to serve God or doing what God wants us to do. And can I say, you know what? When you have zeal for the Lord, you're going to be creative in getting his work done, amen. You know how zeal helps? Because you find ways to get something done for God. Many times God puts something on our heart to do for him and we have 1,000,005 excuses why we can't do it. I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't know how this would work. I'm not smart enough. But you know what happens when you have a zeal or excitement? You find ways to get it done. Not just with Christian things. The things in your life that you're passionate about. You'll miss sleep to do it. You'll spend money on doing it. You'll put yourself out there to do it. Why? Because you're passionate about it. And you know, if you're passionate about God, and so you're going to find ways to get the good works done. We won't turn there for sake of time, but the teens know this. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is 2 Kings chapter 10 about Jehu. And I know Jehu had his issues and his problems, and he wasn't a perfect man. But he says there in 2 Kings 10:16 about, come and seal my zeal for the Lord. And God put it on him and said, hey, you're the man that's going to wipe out Ahab and his household. And that's what Jehu does. And I love the story where he kills Ahab and all his remnants. And then he calls this thing. He says, you know what? What's he say? Ahab served Baal little, but I'm going to serve him much. And he calls this big get together. And he says, basically, if you are a worshiper of Baal in Israel, we're going to hold this great feast and this great meeting, and you need to be here. In fact, if you're a worshiper of Baal and you don't come, you're going to be put to death, because every worshiper of Baal needs to be in this place. And so I'll gather into this temple or building or whatever it is. And then, I just love the creativity of Jehu. And he says, you know what? He says, if you're a worshiper of Baal, well, first off, he says, make sure there's no, like, worshipers of God. Make sure there's no one else in this building except Baal. Like, we need to make sure everyone is a Baal worshiper. And then he even gives them, like, jackets or coats and says, hey, if you're a worshiper of Baal, put this on, wear this. And he walks out the building and goes to his military guys and says, hey, go in there, and everyone that's wearing one of these things, put them to death. And he even says, hey, if any of these people go in there, if you go and any of them get out, he said, you're going to be put to death in their place for not putting them to death. And what happens? It says in there that he wiped Baal worship out of Israel. Amen. That's crazy. But that's a really cool story. I'm sorry, but as a red-blooded American male, I'm like, that guy's cool. You know, he didn't do, oh, how am I going to do this? Oh, there's too many Baal worshipers. Oh, this is too big of a task. I'm just, what? No, he said, let me think of a way to get Baal out of Israel. And you know what? If you and I have a zeal for God, we're not going to look at these things God wants us to do and come up with a bunch of excuses why we can't do it. We're going to say, I'm going to get it done, or I'm going to go down in flames doing the best I can do, trying to get it done for God, because we have a zeal. Faith Baptist Church, we need a zeal tonight. It's important. I need zeal. Pastor Sherry needs zeal. You need zeal. And this world should see some Christians in here that care about the Lord Jesus Christ and care about doing good works. That have an excitement about living for God and doing right. And one last place, and we'll be done. Go back to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We can have a piano player come. Titus 2 and verse number 15. After he says, a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Paul tells Titus, he says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You know what? Being zealous of good works is important. You know what Paul says? He says, hey, you know what, Titus? You need to speak these things. They need to be heard. People need to hear that, hey, we should be zealous of good works. And he says, exhort. I know maybe I've been a little negative. I hope that wasn't the whole what you got. I want to encourage you tonight to do some good works. Do something for God. Have a zeal for God. But there is some rebuke that goes along with that, Christian. Hey, how's your zeal? How's your excitement? In good works, in looking for good works to do, in what God's given you to do? What God has given every single one of us something to do. And I could stand here from now naming off all the things. You know what God has given you to do. And you may think it's small, you may think it's insignificant. If God gave it to you to do, it's important. Do you have any zeal in it tonight? Do you have any passion? Do you have any excitement? Do you have anything that drives you to say, I want to be the best that I can be? I don't want to be Pastor Aaron, or I want to be Pastor Sherry, or I want to be Miss Aaron. No, you know, I just want to do the best I can do for God because he's worthy. Because his grace appeared to me to give me salvation, and he gave himself to me, for me. And man, Christian, he deserves nothing less than for us to have some zeal for him. And so as the piano plays, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Altar's open if you need to use it. Do some business with the Lord in your chair. But being zealous of good works. We need some zeal today.
there's things that need done. And there's things that need done well.